Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
A certain woman wanting to join her church group going to Israel wondered if she should really spend the money. "God," she prayed, "give me a sign. Show me what I should do." Placing the glossy brochure on her table beside the bed, she drifted off to sleep. Waking the next morning, she noticed that the digital clock read 7:47 a.m. "Didn't the brochure say that we were traveling on a Boeing 747?" she asked herself. She picked up the brochure for another look. "Yes, that's it. That's my sign," she thought, quite convinced that she had indeed heard from the Lord. Question: how do you really find the mind of God when it comes to decisions? Through coincidence, dreams, or visions, a combination of circumstances, the digital clock, flipping a coin? Others, however, are not at all certain that God really cares whether you visit Israel or take your money and invest in the stock market. There's one thing for certain. Each of us has a will of our own, a strong one too. You were born with it. It takes only a few days, sometimes even hours, after you've made your entrance into the world to start exercising your will. Your will is pitted against the will of your parents, and you quickly exert your desire to make your own decisions. Before Christ came, finding God's will was more difficult than today. The psalmist of David's day said that we are not to be like the horse or the mule, whose direction is subject to a bit and bridle. An animal who has a bit in its mouth learns very quickly that to exert its will against the will of the rider results in painful protest. The animal is no longer free to do as it pleases. Refusing the will of the rider results in suffering, discomfort, or even outright pain. The message here is that if you don't follow God's guidance, you'll face the consequences. When Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he told them not to be ignorant of God's will, rather to understand what His will is. Two words or concepts stand in opposition to each other: an ignorance of what God wants, in contrast to an understanding of God's will, which includes your mind and will. The word Paul uses to describe a lack of understanding is a strong word. It means ignorant, or in the vernacular, just plain stupid. It's like ignoring a roadmap or a warning because you are too proud to admit that you don't know where you're going. Refusing to look at a compass thinking that you can figure it out or stop and ask directions. A final thought. When you become a parent for the first time, you quickly learn that parenting is 18 years of sometimes gently and sometimes forcibly struggling to determine who's going to be in charge, you or your child. The same thing applies to you and your Heavenly Father. Friend, God's will is better than yours because He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what's around the corner, the hidden hazards you can't see. He's far more interested in your doing His will than you are. Now, the word that Paul uses when he talks of understanding God's will means you use your brain, you think, and evaluate. It's a head decision, not an emotional or heart decision. In His Word, the Bible, God has given us a blueprint, a roadmap, a compass, a game plan for life. Most of our failures when it comes to misunderstanding what God wants comes because we make emotional decisions rather than rational ones. You can find His will when you seek it, and you can be sure that when you do, you will know, no matter what the digital clock may say.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. If you would like to hear more encouraging devotionals and stories of changed lives around the world, visit guidelines.org. That's also where you can join the Guidelines team in delivering the life-changing message of Jesus. Go to guidelines.org to see how you can impact the world with the hope of the gospel. Thanks for listening. And join us again next time for Guidelines for Living.